Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, Making Life Work, with a message titled, How to Delight Your Deity. Now here's Pastor Ray.
You know, I love to watch this fellowship time, especially some of you, and my wife, not the least of which I love to watch, because I don't know how she makes it from the front row all the way to the back row to greet people. So she is like the master of this. Well, I want to start off with a confession. They say that confession is good for the soul. Not my confession. This is going to be your confession, okay? I'm not going to share my stuff with you, but you're going to share your stuff right now. And here's the question. Show of hands on this one. How many of you have lied this year? Okay. Wow. I have my work cut out for me today. Of those of you, okay, maybe I should say this. How many of you have lied in the last week? How many of you who are not raising your hand are lying right now? You know, I don't know if you knew this, but the Bible devotes an impressive amount of ink to this business of honesty and dishonesty. It's important to God. In fact, it made his top 10 list, didn't it? Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not lie. Everybody say that. Let's use the old King James language. Thou shalt not lie. I mean, that's important to God. You know, one of the most radical examples of how serious this is to God, especially for people who violate it, is found in the book of Acts in the story of this husband and wife team named Ananias and Sapphira. And you know what they did? They lied to their pastor. And God struck them dead. Right there, right in the service, God struck them dead. Huh? Now, the moral of the story is don't lie to your pastor. So how many of you have lied in the last week? Oh, bring the ushers in. People are falling over right as I speak here. Wow. I mean, think about this. What if God still used that same methodology today with people who didn't tell the truth? What if he still used that same method with people? Wow. In the basement of every church, there would need to be a morgue for all the liars, seriously. Well, the irony of honesty is that without exception, everyone places high value on it. Everyone that I know, everyone places high value on honesty. Yet in reality, the practice of honesty is not commensurate with our values. Not really, by far. You know, it doesn't match up. That there's a lack of integrity with our value of honesty and our practice of honesty. You know, when you ask parents to describe the number one quality that they want in their children, and survey after survey, honesty, telling the truth, makes it to the top. Yet a recent poll, and there's a ton of study that's been done on this recently, but in a recent poll, it was discovered that 91% of us in America, 91% regularly lie. 60%, they have found out, 60% of people that have been surveyed lie on average of 10 times per day. That's a lot of lying going on. So apparently, if 91% of us lie, and people can't even go a day without lying 10 different times, we are not doing a very good job of teaching honesty to our children. Our grandparents didn't. Our parents didn't. We're not. I mean, honesty is though we give a tacit a value to it, we're not practicing it. Sir Walter Scott famously wrote, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Yeah? Well, apparently we're getting a lot of practice at it. And you may say, well, maybe the person next to me, but not me. Oh, yeah? When was the last time that you said, "The check's in the mail," and it wasn't? When was the last time that you said, "I'll be down in a minute," and you weren't? Linda Noah. When was the last time that you said, "Oh, I'll be praying for you," and you didn't? When was the last time that you said, "Hey, let's do lunch," and you had no intention of it? When was the last time you said, "Hey, mom's not home right now," and she was? or dad's not home, or grandma's not here, and she was. When was the last time you said, "Pastor, I love your sermons. I just wish you would make them longer"? I haven't heard that lie, but I'm sure it's one of these days I will. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that we are due a reminder this morning, in fact, on the value of honesty, the value of honesty before God. Here's what Proverbs chapter 12 says, verse 19. It says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." Then if you drop down a couple more verses, verse 22, it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who are truthful." And those are just two of the multiple references that I could pull up just from the book of Proverbs alone. By the way, did you know that in the book of Proverbs, there is on average one reference to honesty contrasted with dishonesty throughout the book, an average of one per chapter. So why so much emphasis on this one issue? It's because we are a truth-challenged people. That's why. We're a truth-challenged people. Sociologists tell us that we hear, we see, or we tell over 200 lies a day. We see, we hear, we see, or we tell over 200 lies a day. In a study of 31 major colleges and universities, 15,000 upperclassmen were polled. And here are the percentages of students, according to their majors, who admitted to cheating. Humanities major, 63% of humanities majors admitted to cheating. Science majors, it was 68%. 74% of engineering majors said that they lied, they cheated. Business majors, oh my goodness, 87% of them. 87% admitted to cheating. Political science majors, they blew up the lie detector. It was smoking so bad they couldn't go on with the survey. The survey, the poll said that 42% of everybody surveyed justified their cheating. There was justification. There was rationalization for their lying. Well, I could drone on and on and on with the research, amazing stuff that's out there these days. But the deal is, from the schoolhouse to the White House to your house and to my house, the truth is in trouble. Dr. Leonard Keeler, who is actually the one that invented the lie detector, interviewed 25,000 people, and he came to this conclusion. Basically, people are dishonest. This conclusion. People are basically dishonest. And I would say that's true. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful." In the Living Bible, it says, "There is nothing quite as deceitful as the human heart." And so my hope today, the whole purpose and the whole motive behind this message today, is that prompted by the authority of God's Word, that empowered by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that each of us will radically recommit, not just to being truth lovers, but that we would recommit to being truth tellers. You see, when it comes to honesty, God loves it. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says, "The Lord delights in honesty." He delights in honesty. But when it comes to dishonesty, what we find in Scripture is that God hates it. Proverbs 6:17 says, "The Lord hates a lying tongue." Now, rarely do we see that God hates something. I mean, he's a God of love, right? We like to talk about the love of God, and so rarely do we see that God hates something. But when it comes to liars, God is repulsed. That's what the word hate means. It means to be utterly and thoroughly repulsed. Hate means utterly and thoroughly repulsive. Now, I know most of us are probably saying, on that one, you know, I think I'm pretty safe here. I don't think God is repulsed by me. I don't think he detests me because I don't have lying lips. But here's the deal. I don't think that it's bald-faced lying that's at issue here. Not in this room, not today. It's the less obvious, more acceptable patterns of what I would call veiled dishonesty that we need to worry about, that we're prone to. So let me give you a few examples of what I mean. There are plenty of examples. I'm going to limit it to a few. And I want you, as I go through these, I want you to do kind of a personal inventory. The first one is flattery. Flattery. That is when we use an inauthentic affirmation to get a kind response. We manipulate a kind response from someone through inauthentic affirmation. Or how about silence? When we suppress truthful conversations because it might be hurtful in order to help somebody, but we don't want to hurt them, and so we suppress. We are silent when we should be speaking. Or how about deceit? Deceit. When we shade the truth, when we say, hey, tell them I'm not home. Or when we say, I'll be praying for you. Or when we say, hey, let's do lunch. And then there's cheating. We don't declare income on our taxes. We don't pay a bill. We try to sneak our teen under the kids under four eat free menu. We cheat. How about exaggeration? When we make ourselves look better than we really are. When we make ourselves look better than we really are. I think the Greek word for that is resume. Oh, here's one. How about use of time when we take long lunches that have not been authorized? Or we leave work early, or we are chronically late to wherever we're supposed to be. How about self-protection? Self-protection. When we misstate reality to keep from being seen in a bad light. I don't know why, but this is one that maybe I'm vulnerable to. I don't know what it is about being a pastor, but you know what? Here's an example of this. Someone can call me at 2:30 a.m. in the morning, and they'll say the dumbest thing. They'll always say, did I wake you? And I'll go, no, I was awake. It's like I'm fasting and praying all through the night. I don't want people to know that I'm not always on the job. No, I was up already. Or, you know what, how's the business doing? Oh, never been better. How's the marriage? Never been better. Or how about this one? Someone comes up to you and says, hey, do you remember me? And you go, sure, I remember you. Pal? Buddy? Self-protection. How about slander and gossip? Slander and its cousin, gossip. Slander is the Old Testament word for spy, interestingly. To expose and to exploit a flaw or a fault in order to make another look bad, in order to weaken their reputation or to destroy their character or to destroy their business. Slander and gossip. In the Bible, I don't know if you knew this, but more is said about slander and gossip than any other sin. You realize that? More is said about that. Why? Because I think we do it. That one's an easy one to justify. We couch that in so many different ways and make it justifiable, but the Bible calls it out for what it is. It's sin. It's a form of dishonesty. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. God hates dishonesty. Even when it's veiled. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, the Lord cannot tolerate a lying tongue. You see, you cannot walk in the light of God's favor while walking in the shadow of veiled dishonesty. You can't have both. You can't have both. Now, my sense is that a lot of you are going, I get what you're saying, and I've slipped into this or that once in a while, but I don't think you're really talking to me today about this. Well, I want the guys or the gals, or whoever's up there, to flash up that category, the next category. I want you to see the categories again that I listed, these different ways that we sometimes shade the truth, veil honesty. Go ahead and put them up there. There they are. So here's a way to look at this. Here's a way to evaluate where you are, how you're doing on this. If Jesus were there with you in those moments, if Jesus were there with you, if Jesus were in your home, and the phone rang and he picked it up, would you say, tell him I'm not here? If you were out to lunch with Jesus and you went, oh my goodness, hey, it's okay, the boss isn't in the day anyway, would you say that to Jesus? If Jesus were preparing your income taxes, if he were your accountant, would you fudge the numbers at all? What would you do? How would you handle this if Jesus were right beside you? Puts it in a whole new light. I think if we were honest, we would have to say, in my own life, changes are in order. So, how do we break the habit? How do we break the pattern? Again, not of bald-faced lying. If that's you, obviously that needs to be broken. But how do we break the patterns of veiled dishonesty, disguised honesty, rationalized dishonesty? How do we break those patterns? Well, let's start here. First of all, commit to truthfulness at all times. Simple as that. Just commit to truthfulness at all times. Recognize that any pattern of untruth means dishonoring God. Any pattern is dishonoring to God, and just reject that. Just reject it. Now, you'll probably have to recommit to that a few times, maybe even recommit to that a few times a day if you have to. You know, but just start there. Be a truth teller no matter what the cost, at all times, in all circumstances. Commit to being a truth teller. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and don't sell it. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, and this is a prayer. This is a prayer that you and I should be praying. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. This is the writer of Scripture saying this. He's saying, oh God, keep falsehood and lies far from me. And I think that we ought to be praying that as well. We need to be praying that. How about Ephesians 6:14, where Paul says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Just stand firm in the truth. So just commit to truthfulness at all times and at all costs. That's where it starts. Second, choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. Think before you speak. In fact, before you speak, listen. Just listen before you speak. Think before you speak. And then here's a novel idea. If need be, speak fewer words. Just speak fewer words. You know, I have never gotten in trouble that I can remember for not saying enough. It's saying too much where I get into trouble. That's when I might exaggerate, or I might flatter, or I might slander someone. Speak fewer words. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lip guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. So if you're talking too much, just make a commitment to talk less. Buy a mouth zipper. They're on Amazon. And just zip it. Just make a commitment to talk less. Third, communicate the truth courageously. This is the balance to that last one. Communicate the truth courageously. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And if you're a tranquility junkie, in order to keep the peace, maybe you stay silent because it might cause discomfort. It might cause a wound. It might be an offense. It might cause misunderstanding in the relationship, or people might misunderstand you. But when we withhold the truth that needs to be shared, when we don't share it, that is a form of dishonesty. You see a destructive pattern, you see a compromise, and you hold back because you're worried what they might think or how they might react. This happens a lot in marriages, where one spouse says, man, I don't want to wade into that one. Or it happens in parent-child relationships, and it happens in friendships. Sometimes we're unwilling to say, hey, listen, I got to share truth with you. Even if you're risking offending or hurting or causing misunderstanding or them misunderstanding and misrepresenting what you've said. You know, this week I've been disheartened, I guess would be a good word for it, in reading some of the news. One of the things that came out this week was on the national level, there was a Christian artist that came out of the closet and announced that they were gay. And I was amazed at how many other Christians, you know, came out following that, said, oh, we're proud of you. We love you. You're being honest to yourself. I'm going, Where's the truth spoken lovingly? You know, friends, if you do that, and I watch sometimes where that is, that does happen, I just implore you, don't. In order to be liked, in order to be accepted, in order not to be misunderstood or labeled as, you know, intolerant, narrow, you know, religious bigot, that you pull back or you say things that really you don't believe in your heart, you know aren't going to help that person, I just implore you to stop. Figure out how to speak the truth in love. I'm not talking about being a blunt instrument with people, but lovingly, when you're called to, when there's an opportunity to, speak truth in love. And I need to do that as well. You know, I contacted a person this week that has walked into that kind of a lifestyle, and I watched how other Christians are affirming that person. Oh, we're proud of you. We love you. Oh, way to go. And I just thought, I can't do that. And so I've asked them to meet with me. I said, look, I have a different opinion here, and I love you, and you know that I love you, but can we sit down and we talk about this? I'm willing to risk that. I'm willing to risk them going out and calling me things that I am not, and they know that I'm not. But listen, I love what C.S. Lewis said. I agree with it. He said, Jesus didn't call us to go into all the world and say, hey, everything's okay, because it's not. And if we pull away from sin, and I'm not talking about being judgmental, but I'm talking about people that you love, that you see in a destructive pattern. I mean, if we pull back from calling sin what it is in love, if we pull back from that, then we've done away with sin, right? And that's very popular. That's a very, I don't know that it's intentional, but it's satanic, and it's happening in Christian culture today that we're doing away with sin. And listen, if you do something that gives tacit approval to that diminishing of sin or doing away with sin, guess what? If there is no sin, there's no need of a Savior. And you just have removed Jesus Christ, who came to save the world. The first call, the first word of the gospel, the first word was Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn from what you're doing to follow into what God is calling you to. Turn from that, leave that to follow, to pursue what God wants you to pursue. Friends, if we pull back on that, again, I'm not talking about being harsh and judgmental and all the things that we have seen some Christians do, but if we don't figure out how to do that in love, the world's in trouble. And we are complicit in that. And so I would encourage you to the bold truth-telling. By the way, that can also, similarly, that can also happen not only in our friendships, but in our Christian witness, because we don't want to come off as a religious nut. And so we don't share truth with people that really need to hear it. When it endangers a person's eternal destiny, when it endangers their eternal destination, that silence is actually one of the cruelest forms of dishonesty. So commit to bold truth-telling in the Holy Spirit's power. You know the first quality or the first experience of Holy Spirit empowerment in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit finally came? And this is what Jesus said would happen. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my... It was boldness. Listen, I get what we struggle with. But maybe what we need more than anything else right now in our Christian culture is to be refilled with the Holy Spirit so that we will have that boldness to speak the truth in love without compromise. Done with grace, it's one of the greatest acts of love you can give. Like, you are super quiet right now. Proverbs 27, verse 7 says, wounds from a loved one are worth it. It's kisses from an enemy that will do you in. Now, I'm so grateful that in my life, I've had people that have been bold enough to speak truth to me when I needed it. I think when I was a teenager, I'd graduated high school, and I was in an unhealthy relationship, and my older brother came and he risked my anger, and he said, look, here's what I see happening with this. I want you to think about that. And I went, wow, he's right. I don't want that. And it rescued me from a road that I didn't want to go down. I remember as a young minister that I had listened to some people complain and gossip about another pastor. And I took up that offense for them, and I went to that pastor, and I'm glad that pastor called me on it. He said, "You've been listening to gossip, and that worries me about your character." And I went, "Whoa, I don't want my character." And the Lord convicted me in that moment because someone was willing to speak a bold word of truth to me. I hope that we will be willing to do that with the people that we love. Truth with grace. Truth with love. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can go on. Finally, how do we break the patterns of veiled dishonesty? Finally, claim the benefits of honesty. Just claim the benefits of honesty. You know, it has been said, I don't know who it was, but it has been said that honesty is what? The best policy. Isn't that true? I mean, it really is. That's just wisdom of the ages. Honesty is the best policy. Scripture teaches that it always pays to speak and to live by and to honor the truth at all levels, at all times, at all costs. So let me give you just some of the benefits, just a few. Truth will guard your life. Truth will guard your life. Proverbs 2:7 says, God provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. That word protection meant to be a bodyguard for something or for someone, whose sole protection it was to shield from danger. Our honesty initiates divine safekeeping in a dangerous world. It protects us. It guards us. Then truth will guide your path. Proverbs 11:5 says, the godly are directed by their honesty. Honesty allows you to see God's way. I mean, wow, when you see truth and you know truth and you follow truth, it just kind of clarifies stuff, doesn't it? We live in a really gray, foggy age, but not people who understand and adhere to and live by the truth and speak the truth. It guides their path. Their direction becomes very, very clear when they're committed to truth. And then truth will enrich you. It will enrich you. Proverbs 13:21 says, trouble chases sinners, while blessings chase the righteous. Honesty will chase you down, and it will bless the socks off of you. That's God's promise. You know, a few years ago, there was a story of this newlywed couple got married in Chicago, and they opened up their wedding gifts, and then they opened up the envelopes, and they took all the cash out of the envelopes, and then they packed the car and they headed out for their honeymoon. Unfortunately, they left the cash on top of the car when they drove away. And it fell to the street. $12,000 fell to the street. Linda, we didn't have that kind of wedding. Our wedding guests were not quite like that, were they? You know, $12,000 fell to the street. Fortunately, an honest man who happened to be unemployed picked it up. And through some effort, he found this couple and he gave it all back. He returned it all back to them. Now that story broke in the news and the city went nuts over it. I mean, people were just baffled how somebody, some guy that didn't have a job, some unemployed guy didn't keep the money for himself. They were baffled by it. And then this guy, this unemployed man, began to get job offers from Sony, from Hilton, from Motorola, and others that are based there in Chicago. Honesty chased him down and blessed his socks off. So in a material way, that exemplifies what God does in a spiritual way. Your honesty delights your deity. It does. Your truthfulness, your honesty delights your God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17 says, God, you examine our hearts and you rejoice when you find integrity there. When God looks at you and he finds honesty, he rejoices. He dances a jig over you. He loves it. Well, he not only rejoices over it, but with delight. He not only delights over it, but he blesses you. He blesses your honesty with favor. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7, it says, God holds success in store for the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. God holds success in store for the honest. Just think what might happen in your life, in your family, in your school, in your job. Think what might happen at Portland Christian Center if we would just radically recommit to being truth lovers and truth tellers. Think what might happen. Think what might happen. Psalm 140 verse 13 says, honest people will live in his presence. And that's where I want to live. That's what I want my address to be. And that's what I want for you. I really do. I want you to live in his presence. The entrance into his presence, favor, blessing, his joy, being a truth lover and a truth teller.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.